When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to one of our Fight Game Media podcasts. If you enjoy this feed, you may also want to subscribe to the Fight Game Media YouTube channel. Most of the shows you enjoy listening to are also live streamed on YouTube, but there are two exclusive YouTube shows that aren't on this feed. It's G1 Season and our New Japan show, Speaking of Strong Style, hosted by Stephen Conway and Jeremy Finestone, goes live on Thursdays. And to kick off the week, Samantha Shipman and Mel Gray host The Power Bombshells every Sunday. Subscribe by going to youtube.com/@Fight Game Media, and you'll receive notifications when shows go live. You can also find all of our shows on fightgamemedia.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. Happy Thursday morning to you all. Yes, Thursday morning, a very special edition of The Wrap for your listening pleasure as we get ready for SummerSlam going down in a couple of days in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Miss Jada Parker from NXT. I bring to you back on the Fight Game Media Network someone that has every reason to be salty, because we meant to do a live stream recapping NXT, the Great American Bash Night 1, and previewing SummerSlam live for your viewing and listening pleasure. But unfortunately, an act of God decided to say, we're not going to be doing that, and we're going to push it back to today, where you can listen to us preview SummerSlam and recap Night 1 of the Great American Bash. But I really laid the blame on the one and only Rey Mysterio, because after all of this time, he finally booyakaed Scott Young into submission. But I bring to you back on The Wrap, as always, the one, the only, extra salty Scott Young. Welcome back, extra salty.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE with you. But, you know, I'm not happy about the events that have occurred. I take full responsibility for not being able to go live. Accident took out the power of the ultimate Booyaka. We got 619. Telephone pole got 619. Took out the whole neighborhood. And so I take about 75% of the blame. I blame 10% on Mother Nature. I blame the other 10% on the person that took out the pole. And then I blame the 5% on just the fact that it happened to be on a Tuesday. This could have happened any other day of the week, but it happened on a Tuesday. So that's on me, as R-Truth would say, my bad. But we're here tonight, and we're going to have a good time.
Yes, we're here. We're back. We got power on, thankfully. I had a couple of power flickers the last week or so myself. Storms are crazy during the summertime, but good to have you back. And our apologies for the delay, but some things we simply cannot control, and that includes the weather and power outages. But I'm very glad that Scott is with us tonight, because you know what? It was a pretty good week for WWE so far as we get ready for SummerSlam going down this Saturday on Peacock with a three-hour pre-show going down at 4 o'clock p.m. Houston. I know there's a lot of complaints about that, but you know what? Watching the pre-show, Scott, is what? Optional. You don't have to watch it. I'm going to tune in promptly at 6:30 to make sure my Peacock is working. Otherwise, I have no time or desire to watch a 2.5-hour pre-show with a bunch of yakety yak that doesn't mean anything at the end of the day.
Yakety yak, don't talk back. Listen, I won't be watching any of the pre-show. I'll be tuning in at 6:57, and that's not even the watch. That's like you said, just to make sure everything's going good. I'll probably tune in on the iPad and on the TV, see which one works better. And then, as far as the 3-hour pre-show, no, I'm good on that. I'll pass on that appetizer they got going on over there.
I will as well. I use that last sort of to troubleshoot Peacock to make sure everything is functioning. It's working. No problems. No need to reboot. No need to use alternate devices or ways to watch. So that is what I do with my extra pre-show time. Otherwise, I am not going to be wasting my time watching a pre-show that amounts to very, very little. But let's get to some more important things, shall we? Let's talk about NXT's Great American Bash Night 1 going down live from the WWE Performance Center in Orlando, Florida on Sci-Fi because of the Olympics dominating USA Network for the next couple of weeks. Monday Night Raw was also regulated to Sci-Fi as well on Monday and will be the case next Monday as well after SummerSlam. So that should be a challenge for them, but the viewership kind of held up pretty well for both, considering the competition from the Olympics, which has proven once again with people, with stars, and with main attractions, is still a pretty, pretty big deal.
Yeah, you know, we were going back to our Kevin Thorne days, our ECW on Sci-Fi days. But no, it's cool. The rating was all right. You know, you can't be mad at a 1.4, I think it was. So that's solid for Sci-Fi. I think the last time Sci-Fi was relevant was the last time a Sharknado came out. So it's good news for them as well.
Wow. A Sharknado shout out in 2024. Those Sharknado movies definitely carried for Sci-Fi for a long time. And now, hey, NXT popped them a good number because I can tell you that is above their daily average for sure. But let's talk about the bash, shall we? I thought it was overall a pretty good show carried by the NXT Women's Division, which we've been talking about a lot as of late. That has improved a lot. Still green in areas. But I have to say, Chef Boy, Shawn Michaels, you know, Walker HBK has come through and he's really doing a good job assessing talent, making sure that they're not being rushed to television. There are some names that are regrettable, but there is talent in this women's division. Prime example was the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship match involving Isla Dawn and Alba Fyre defending their titles for the first time since winning them at Clash of the Castle back in June versus the team of Jakara Jackson and Lash Legend. I thought this was a pretty good opening match to the bash. Lash Legend has improved so much from her debut a few years ago on NXT 2.0. It showed here in this match. Nice showing. But of course, the champions retain as they will face Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill on SmackDown tomorrow night in a rematch for those very titles.
Yeah, this is what the tag titles should be used. They should be across all the brands. So this is good use of them. Good use of letting some of the veteran women work with some of the younger women. Like you mentioned, Lash is somebody who they've done a good job with this, and as far as the 2.0 crew. She's one of those that's been there for a while, and she's definitely gotten better. She's definitely taken those reps and really utilized them to the fullest, not only for the wrestling, but to get her character right. Like, she's going to be, by the time they're done, because they're not rushing her, by the time they're done with her, she's going to be a full package ready to go on that main roster. So this is great for her. This is great for Metaphor, who is going to end up being, by the time the next Stand and Deliver happens, they will probably be the most overact in NXT.
I agree. I think they have what it takes to get over as a big time babyface act. And I think what was important for Lash Legend was that they took off television for a while to get the reps behind the scenes, because they made a mistake during the 2.0 days of everybody wasn't ready for television. Let's throw you out there, see what happens. And she got exposed. But thankfully, they took some steps back and allowed her to get better behind the scenes. There was NXT Level Up, where she was able to grow and improve in front of a smaller audience. But she was able to get those reps in a way that did not expose her in a way that harmed her potential in WWE. And ever since then, since her really breakthrough performance at NXT Deadline back in December, she's really come into her own. Character's always been on point. But the work rate has definitely improved since then. Jakara Jackson, I see potential with her as well. She's getting reps now because she was out with injury for a while. They make a really good tag team. Metaphor just clicks as a unit. And when Noam Dar comes back, he's going to get that baby face reaction as well. Or Mensa is also getting over in his championship match against Ethan Page next Tuesday as well for the NXT title. So this crew is starting to click. They're getting over. And when you give them time to shine, they will resonate with the crowd as they did so on Tuesday.
Yeah, I agree. And this crowd in particular, there's definitely a connection. There's definitely a we've seen you grow. We've been there for the entire journey with them. So there is something special as far as, at least as far as like with Latch, you know, they've been there from the beginning. And like you mentioned, the Level Up matches, that's who those matches are in front of. So this crowd is very familiar with her, and they absolutely are familiar with the story and have been a part of this journey from the jump.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, that's what it takes, basically reassessing and kind of reevaluating what 2.0 was for a while, and they figured it out. And I think it's a perfect mesh of what OG NXT was to what we have with the main roster integration in order to even bolster this roster even more. That crossover appeal helps people get better. People that with more experience can get those who are green and still learning even more reps and experience in the ring as well. That certainly worked for Lash Legend in the less is more approach. And when it's time to come back, look how better she was since her return in the fall of last year. In the ring, much improved, has a ways to go, but the improvement from where she was in the beginning to now is remarkable to see, and it's good to see.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, elsewhere in NXT was a match between Brooks Jensen and Cedric Alexander. Now, Cedric had kind of a so-so outing against Trick Williams the week before last on NXT prior to this match, but I thought he looked much better here. And I have to say that even though I'm not a fan of the character being like a loose cannon ripoff of the late, great Brian Pillman, I will say that Brooks Jensen from Brooks and Dunn fame with Josh Briggs as a tag team has improved as a singles wrestler. He's got it together, because at first, for a long time, I was like, I don't see it. But look at that. With time, with improvement, with reps, with experience, you start to see the fruits of that labor develop. And he is getting very good in the ring. Saw that against Josh Briggs a few weeks ago. Well, actually, the last week they had their no DQ match, and a few weeks ago against Javon Evans. And I saw it again here last night against Cedric Alexander. So I definitely see growth. I'm not a big fan of the character. Now he's possibly being aligned with Sean Spears as a guy that's trying to influence him to think his way of thinking, but not sold on that. But I do feel as if we're moving in the right direction with Jensen getting over as a babyface.
Yeah. You know, the 2024 Magnum TA is, he's doing pretty good. Big fan of the stash. But I'm just excited that Cedric's getting TV time. Glad that they're utilizing him. Again, this is what the meshing and the mixture of NXT should be. Cedric's a veteran who can absolutely bring something to the table down there. He can have good matches with anybody down there. So this is a really, for me, that's what's most exciting. Like the Brooks and Dunn thing, that's cool, but Cedric being utilized the way he's supposed to be. Shawn Michaels is really taking advantage of this kind of open world policy that he's got in NXT, where anybody can show up, and he's utilizing it the way he should be. But, you know, the other thing that really stood out, and, you know, Keila, you talked about Brooks. The improvement in ring, this is what's going to continue to happen when you're able to bring guys like a Cedric Alexander down, like the Josh Briggs match you mentioned from last week. But Josh Briggs is a good worker. You know, he's somebody who is really able to, a big man who can go. And the Evans match is interesting. Jensen working kind of as the big man, it works really well. So, The Great American Bash, at least night one, it seemed like was really all about a lot of the younger and newer talent really getting the shine and getting the chance. And, you know, you mentioned off air that the ladies really carried the show. And this is a good chance for the guys to get out there. And I know there was a Tony D match later on that was real quick. But you know, these are the type of matches and this is the type of story that you've got to keep telling with Brooks Jensen and Cedric Alexander. This is the way that it's got to go. One thing I would like to see more out of with Cedric, though, if he's going to be down there, let's have him go. Let's have him and Evans have a couple. Let's have those guys go. Obviously, him and Sean Spears are probably going to have a match. That's going to be pretty good. But I'm really excited about if I get excited and then next week he'll probably get destroyed. And he just lost the week before. This is a nice bounce back win for him here. Me personally, I would have put him in a tag. I thought him and Shante were going to do something, but clearly they're not. We'll see what happens. But this was good for what it was. And the Great American Bash, NXT doing these specials for 2 weeks really gives them the freedom to have these types of matches, to give everybody time on the card. You wouldn't have had this type of match, especially with the kind of hype that you have going into it. You talk about people looking forward to seeing Joe Hendry and Roxanne Perez in and of herself. This match right here, this is a good way to get Brooks Jensen's character over while still getting Cedric Alexander a really good win. So this was a lot of fun. Something I do want to touch on that I actually really enjoyed was the Treehouse segment. And I shout out to the Brace for Impact group that I'm in, but this was a lot of fun. My question is, it's 2024. Matt Riddle was talking all about some marijuana and the Mary Jane. I'm just trying to figure out why it's such a big deal for the Rascals and for them to be talking about it. I mean, like, I get we were trying to, you know, get puns toward it, but we couldn't just get them all just cheesing, eyes caked, you know, with smoke all around them, that 70s show style. You know, why not? Let them boys have a little fun. But what it led to with the tag title match coming next week, I'm excited about that. Next week's show is loaded, but the Treehouse segment was a lot of fun. I know I'm not a big fan of the laugh track in and of itself, but I like the content that they have, and they have a great chemistry among the three.
Thank you for holding it down. How long was I gone?
Not too long, maybe like a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Okay.
Cedric Alexander got a lot of love, I can tell you that.
Well, listen, he deserved it, and then he knocked me off the air. So I blame him for that. Brooks Jensen, I was very complimentary of him as well. So I hold him responsible. So I take back everything I said about him improving and getting better. I don't mean it. I kid. I meant it. But I just got knocked out for a second. But I'm back now. But maybe I did show too much love to Cedric Alexander. Just maybe too much. I don't know.
I gave him some love. I'm genuinely, like I mentioned, I'm genuinely really excited about him being down there. And I think him being down there could be a lot of fun. There's a lot of matchups that he could do. And he's still got whatever he's got going on with Ashante, the Adontes, not the Master Lock, but, you know, but yeah. So
wait. Say his name again.
Ashante the Adonis, not the Master Lock.
Okay. I thought you said something else.
Here we go.
I thought I'd call it a little extra with the nickname. But oh, Ashante, no. Ashante is trying to be a ladies' man, trying to, you know, get a piece of the NXT pie backstage, trying to be a playboy out there. But I think it works for both of them in terms of, like, here's an opportunity for you guys to stand out in a good way. You're not getting television time on SmackDown. They did a couple of hype videos for them and they completely disappeared. So Shawn Michaels was like, hey, my roster's kind of thin right now. I need some people on my show. And Cedric and Ashante, they can definitely do something. They got character. They have talent. So let them go out there and ball out and then go back on the main roster and see what they can do from there. And I think it totally makes sense. And Ashante, even though you kind of cut him up sometimes, he is very good in the ring. He's a nice gatekeeper. And I think it's an opportunity for him to kind of figure out who he is as a character. Had a couple opportunities with Hit Row, never quite worked out. He was not the rapper of the group. He was a hype man. But we see what he will do as someone that is not a hype man on NXT moving forward, that you have to be your own man and try to carry your own weight in your own way and see where it takes him from there.
Yeah, Baby did that too, and he ended up being one of the worst rappers of all time. So, listen, listen, I mean, let's think about it. Like, Top Dollar was Manny Fresh, Lil Wayne is Swerve, you know, and Ashanti was Baby.
Who was B-Fab?
I was trying to think who could be B-Fab, but I didn't want to disrespect B-Fab like that.
Okay.
Because I couldn't think of nobody from Cash Money off top who could be B-Fab, unless I was going to be disrespectful.
Okay, that's fair and reasonable.
I'm just, unless you got somebody that I'm
now, missing. If we're remixing Cash Money, I mean, you could go with Nicki, but...
It's a little late in the game for Nicki.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She wasn't there when they had Manny and Baby and all that.
Yeah. I was trying to modernize a little bit because I had nobody.
But Nicki, for sure. You could definitely do that for sure. Absolutely.
Yes. So that would be my pick. And everybody else, you pretty much landed perfectly for who was who in the group. And let's hope that Ashanti can beat the Baby allegations. Fingers crossed on that.
Yeah. The only allegations he's going to beat is if he does a little dirty dancing, because we just put Baby in the corner.
I knew that was coming. I don't know why, because you are good for a pun and a joke, and I knew that was coming around the bend, so good for you on that. Very, very clever. As I caught you talking about the Clubhouse Treehouse segment with the Rascals, I am not a big fan of the laugh track either, but I am a fan of this trio. Their reunion tour has been very fun, especially on NXT TV as of late. I do agree that this is a crew that obviously smokes weed, so why not explicitly say that on your television shows? I totally agree with that. Like, why are we dancing around the issue? They smoke up, because they do.
And we're on sci-fi at that. Like,
yes.
Like, we're on a channel that promotes, like I mentioned, flying tornadoes made of sharks. So why are we getting upset that somebody wants to have some medical, medicinal marijuana? The peace drug. Why are we getting upset about that?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The peace and love drug, you know, I mean, it's a legit pot tax you pay in WWE. It's not something that you get penalized for anymore. You can roll up at your leisure from the comfort of your own home. Don't just be called riding with the marijuana in the car. But yeah, I think it's something that you can openly make jokes about. It's okay. There's no shame in that. No need to dance around and to be cute with it. Just make the joke and move on. I think we're all grown people here. We're on sci-fi, a place known for crazy shit going down on that network with their Saturday movie of the week involving sharks and storms and whatnot. And the Twilight Zone runs marathons every so often. Other shows run on that network as well. So just be a little bit bold and fun and just embrace craziness of MSK and the Rascals being a bunch of weed heads. It's all in love. Why not?
Yeah. You know, that's all we're saying. Just let them be them. You know, listen, RVD was the champion of that channel for a long time. Mm-hmm. But we're going to act like he ain't do that. Mm-hmm. We're going to lie. We're just going to tell a lie. Listen, do we remember what Randy Orton was before he became a pothead? This man was pooping in bags.
Listen.
Marijuana saved that WWE locker room?
Yes, it did.
And it saved Randy Orton's career.
Yes, it did. You preaching now. I need like a collection plate. Because the Randy we saw 20 years ago, ooh, child, I don't want to know that man. No, I don't. Couldn't stand him. This Randy, family man Randy. Smoking weed Randy. That's the one I stand and support. I do truly. So,
Kurt Angle broke his ankle at a one-night stand, he went and had a joint with RVD in the back. It's like,
Changed his whole life.
Listen, He ain't just get some regular bud. He got that RVD for bud too. Because you knew RVD was winning that night. So he was like, he had some really good stuff. So his mind was blown.
You know, it was
chasing that high ever since.
Yes. Now listen, just a few years ago at the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony when nobody was there, like legit RVD had rolling papers he was advertising. He showed the rolling papers to Vince. So if he can show rolling papers, come on now.
Yeah.
We can make the jokes.
Yeah, we good. We just let it ride.
Yes. So enjoy the segment minus laugh track. And I'm really looking forward to MSK, Zachary Wentz, and Wesley versus Axiom and Nathan Fraser for the NXT Tag Team Championships next Tuesday for night two of the Great American Bash going down on Sci-Fi. That match is going to be incredible. Prepare to be breathless. And I would not be surprised to see a title change, possibly, maybe.
Good chance there's a title change. I think there's a good chance that could be one of the best matches NXT has all year.
Yeah.
If they give them some time and just really let them, like, I'd probably open the show with it. I'd probably open the show and real talk, man, I'd open the show and let them go commercial free and just let them have like the first half hour. You're going to be on Sci-Fi anyway. Like, just let them go. Oro and Ethan Page doesn't need a lot of time. That can be a quick 5 to 7 minute what it needs to be sprint, because Oro should just be going after him anyway. It shouldn't be a wrestling match. Like, this, give this 20-25 and let them just work.
100%. I agree. Open the show. Let's go commercial free. Why not? I don't need picture in picture. Just run it straight for like 20 minutes and bam, there you go. I think they will have an absolutely incredible match. One of the best matches, period, for NXT this year. And there's been some great tag team matches involving Nathan and Axiom, involving the Wolf Dogs, Chase U, and now possibly and probably MSK as well. So they're going to tear it up. It's going to be an instant classic. I'm here for it as well. As we get to the Joe Hendry concert that happened on Tuesday, and I laughed at the puns and the jokes at Booker T's expense, laughed at the gallows shade, obviously. Joe Hendry is so incredibly over. We learned via an interview he did that he has full access to train at the WWE PC full time. So I am pretty certain that when the time comes for Joe Hendry to sign his next contract, it will be most likely with WWE, because this guy has oodles of charisma. He's very talented, popular, and it's amazing to me that this guy is over in this building with people that are very astute about who Joe Hendry is, and that WWE social media, the fans know who this guy is. And I think that you run it all the way to the Royal Rumble and you have this guy come out and they know who he is. They know his name, and you say his name, he magically appears. So I think this has been a beautiful partnership, but I do, you know, caution TNA that you are going to be losing some key talent potentially down the road. And that might be the intent, because we really don't know the future of TNA. That has been up in the air for a while as well in terms of the stability and long-term longevity, which has been something they've been dodging for honestly the last 10 or so years of their existence, and they've beaten a lot of close calls. So we'll see how this relationship goes, but you can see WWE has their eye on Joe Hendry for sure, and definitely Jordynne Grace when her contract comes due at the end of the year as well. But Joe Hendry right now getting ample TV time, will face Joe Coffey next Tuesday for night two of the Great American Bash after Gallus jumped him from behind as we were denied an encore for Mr. Hendry.
Yeah, he's NXT superstar Joe Hendry is definitely one of the biggest and hottest names going right now. Sometimes he shows up on Thursdays at TNA, but for the most part, the NXT superstar is he's here to stay. And I'm glad, because the reaction he gets, and, you know, he's somebody who, like you said, him showing up at the Royal Rumble and people singing that song and waving their hands with him, that would be absolutely incredible. So I'm going to need Joe Hendry to probably beat Ethan Page for the NXT title at some point then.
I agree. I think it can come possibly by the fall. They're trying to get ready to move to the C-Dub in October. So what better way to usher in that era than possibly have Joe Hendry be the NXT champion beating Ethan Page at No Mercy in the next month or so. I'm here for that. Not opposed to it. Very interested to have that guy leading the C-Dub and being in TNA at the same time. So that also gives TNA more visibility on broadcast television. So why not belt him the next couple of months? I am here for that as well. Trick is obviously going to be a centerpiece for that show as well. But the Joe Hendry effect is real. He's really over. It's not a joke. He's very popular with the people. And that is going to connect in a bigger way, like I predict, possibly at the Royal Rumble with everybody singing his song, which is going to be crazy in Indianapolis come January. Or I take that back, February, because the tradition changes.
Yeah, I don't know why Hunter had to mess with that. But
what?
Yeah, why February?
I mean, they made that decision. I don't know why they made that decision to move the Rumble to February. I have no idea.
February is Elimination Chamber / No Way Out month. That's what February is. Okay. Then you have the month off where you just build. And then April is WrestleMania. That's how it goes.
It's mid-April at that for next year. So everything's kind of off by
that's
a bit.
What I'm saying, man. Like the routine is the routine. Like there were certain things that were fine. Like that were good. And that was cool. Rumble in January. You get your Elimination Chamber or No Way Out, whatever you want to do that year. In February, you got a month to get everything ready to go. Then we at Mania. Just leave it alone.
Yeah. WrestleMania happening borderline in May is weird. Wild. It's weird.
It's to prevent the weather. I get it. But
I know. But you're in the dome. You're in Las Vegas. You know, I know it's Easter Sunday, which is even weirder to run WrestleMania on Easter Sunday.
What?
Yes. Easter Sunday.
Oh, that's
it's like 4:20 and Easter Sunday. Yes.
That's asking for something bad to happen. you playing with Jesus' day, bro. Like that's the day he came. That's the day he came back, and that's the day you playing with. Like he gonna come out from behind the tomb and be like, "Word? What? You putting your biggest show on the year on my biggest show of the year?
Oh my god!
Yeah, that's not good.
Oh my god, not his biggest show of the year.
I mean, seriously, like
it is. He rose though, like on the third day, so like the audacity for you to upstage me on my day.
It's probably the second most important day of
yes, outside of his birth, outside of Christmas.
Well, where does the crucifixion rank in this then?
Well, okay, so.
Because he's got to get crucified.
Okay, Christmas, his birth.
Right.
Crucifixion is before, then he rises on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, so, okay, so top three.
Top three.
In the top three moments of his life, you know? Like, this is...
I cannot believe we're having this conversation. Ranking Jesus's top three moments WWE countdown special.
Clearly Hunter didn't have this conversation because he's in for a world of trouble when Jesus come out of that tomb on that Sunday. Let me tell you that. He better have them palms out on Saturday.
He better lead it like a gospel choir on Sunday for sure now.
Because look, SmackDown better be good. It's Good Friday. SmackDown better be good.
Listen at you pre-planning. Good Friday better be good. Saturday better be good. And Sunday better have the Mississippi Mass Choir up there singing. I know that much. So.
That is a wild thing to do to put that on Easter. Though. That's a wild thing to do to me.
Yes. And they've made that decision. So we'll see how it goes. I cannot believe we had this discussion on this show. It actually happened. But here we are. And we'll talk about it again as we get closer to it. So. That happened on this show today. Hope you guys were entertained by that segment. As we get to more NXT Great American Bash involving the NXT Women's Division. So I want to single out Ms. Jada Parker, someone that Scott enjoys a lot, as do I. Someone we think is going to be a future champion on this show someday very soon. And she basically told Roxanne Perez that backstage prior to her match against Kendall Gray. Now, I've seen Kendall Gray a few times. She's not another let's get him out the factory. Blonde, she wrestles, it's robotic. She's actually very good. And I saw how she threw Miles Bourne around a couple of weeks ago, and then what she did to him on Tuesday. Like, Kendall has potential. Her and Jade had a pretty solid match for the time they were given. Like the technique a lot from Kendall. She's very impressive out there. Has a ways to go, obviously. But first sight, keen eye, she's got something. Jade has already got it. I know she's got next as well. But Kendall Gray, watch out for her. Her partner in crime, Carly Bright. I hate that name. That name is like super generic. It sucks, but she's all right. But Kendall, definitely potential and money there for sure.
Yeah, this is why this is so important. And why having it for two nights works out in their favor, because you can have these type of matches and give these ladies these opportunities to really go out there and just show the work and really let the repetition kind of kick in. Jada is, you know, she's not a veteran, but she is sort of becoming probably a leader in that locker room, just as far as she's on TV, she's getting TV time, she's winning matches. She is a consistent part of the story every week, whether it's with the tag team leading them or whether it's her just running things on her own. So the confidence with her, the faith in her, and the improvement with her, and then to be able to bring on another young lady who's just, like you said, is also improving and coming along, it shows that what they're doing is working. And for me personally, and I think it's been pretty obvious, at least as far as the success rate, but the women have always kind of had a little bit of a leg up on the men as far as not coming in established. You know, with the women, they've really created some true homegrown stars as far as the women goes in that NXT.
Yeah. I don't know if something's changed with the NIL program in the last year or so, but I feel like the approach has been different, that you're trying to get somebody that got some hops, got some potential outright, and you're just not looking for like the size, the height, and the body type, that you're legit looking at people that can be somebody in this business. And I see that with Kendall Gray. Jada Park is a prime example of that as well. Oba Femi's come through in the last year or so as well. But the women's division, you kind of see the vision that was kind of lacking this time last year, but you see the fruits of that labor starting to really flourish and develop in a good way. And I saw Kendall Gray. I'm like, okay, she's got something and she's going to be somebody. And remember this match, remember where you were, because this was a starting point of something really good. And shout out to Winston Claire as well, who's trying to get into the No Quarter Catch crew. Now, here's the funny thing about this, Scott, because we all know that most likely Charlie Dempsey and company murked their guy a few weeks ago, put him in a trunk, went away. So you're telling me that Walker HBK and Ava, who executive produce and run NXT, have the tapes, ran the footage, but Rin Sinclair is the only eyewitness to see what happened? Okay.
I mean, like I mentioned before, HBK is not going to do anything right now because he's got about four other murders that are on the tapes as well. So once you start opening and, you know, digging in closets and stuff and finding these bones, you got to get all the skeletons out. So this is a dangerous place. You can die here on NXT. people think it's a game. It's not a game. You either find love or you die. Like, those are your options on NXT.
Are you good at seeing that? He's not lying. Like, you're gonna find love, or you're gonna die in kayfabe on this show, and you're gonna get away with murder, multiple murders. Like, Tony D'Angelo has murked at least three or four people, and he walks around with a fucking cup, and we have the No Quarter Catch crew taking out somebody, and there's visual evidence, footage of this, and then when Sinclair says, I know what you did, I'll tell on you. Like, Sean has the tapes. Ava saw what happened. So what is the big secret? Charlie Dempsey is acting like his dad, being very stoic and silly, like, oh my gosh, he's going to totally bust us. Like, no shit. Like, it's so dumb. But I love it because it's so dumb.
this one is it's a head scratcher. I can tell you that. This is definitely out of the TNA playbook.
We
are definitely merging worlds 100%. Because this feels like whoever wrote the TNA one where the kid got hit by the car and he's looking up, and the camera is from the kid's point of view as he's looking up, and everybody just standing over him looking at him like, oh, he dead. Like, all right, it is what it is. It's cool.
It's all a parody at this point, and I'm kind of here for it. It's dumb, but it's good fun. Why not? And she's getting over with the personality, which is good too. They need something. And listen, when you are the son of William Regal, you must deadpan properly, and he's a great deadpan actor. He's trying here. He's trying his best to sell it, but he's his dad's son, and only he can pull off dry humor on this level. And the D'Angelo family, I love them because they know what time it is. And they're like, listen, dude, you're on your own. Like, oh, a woman saw you? Oh, I don't do that. I don't handle things in that way. You handle that, okay? So even Tony D says, I won't cross that line.
Yeah. I had a camera crew follow me while I did mine, but you had a wrestler who saw you, so I can't do that, but camera crew, yeah, I got you. It's just a camera crew. I can take care of that.
It's so ridiculous. But and I never knew that mobsters could be friendly to other wannabe mobsters. They're so friendly. They have this friendly relationship now out of respect. They're so nice over this Heritage Cup. No beef, no animosity. Like, you're a former Olympian. I respect you, dude. I respect you, Tavion Heights. Gonna beat you out of respect. Hey, Charlie Dempsey, you trying to be like me? I respect that. So mutual respect against the actual mobsters and the wannabes.
I didn't know the wrestling quarter catch crew were mobsters.
Yes. They've become mobsters. They are mobsters in training.
All right. The MIT.
I love that.
They are the MIT.
Trademark that.
The mobsters in training.
Yes.
That's cool. I like Tavion though. So and since we're on it, we can talk about the match. The match was a WWE speed match at its finest.
Yes.
We definitely embraced the Olympics that were going on because they gave us an Olympic match. Tony D won the gold. Tavion didn't, they only had one gold medal. Apparently, no silver, no bronze, just gold. And Tony D got that. So the match was fine, though, for the 3-minute sprint that they gave us.
Yes. I mean, they broke it up in 6 rounds or 5.5. And we got that. And it was fun for what it was. Tony D and Tavion Heights have good chemistry. They're both collegiate wrestlers. Tavion went to the Olympics 4 years ago. So he knows what it takes to go out there and grapple at a very high level. And Tony D'Angelo is very impressive out there. And I love that for him as well. Probably the best Heritage Cup champion they've had since bringing this championship stateside over a year ago. As we get to our next matchup, which was a 6-woman tag team match involving the team of Sol Ruka, Lola Vice, and Carmen Petrovic versus JC Jane, Jasmine Nix, and Fallon Henley. Fun 6-woman tag team match. Sol Ruka in this match with the greatest of ease decided, you know what, I'm going to go up top and I'm going to deliver a sky twister moonsault off the top to everybody on the outside looking clean as hell. Like, Sol Ruka is amazing, still has a ways to go in terms of getting it all together, but when she gets it together, she is going to be a wonder on the main roster because she will simply do things others cannot. And I'm looking forward to her changing the game in WWE in that respect. Nobody has that natural ability and skill set to do high flying athletic shit like Sol Ruka can with her level of experience. And it looks so clean. The buckshot lariat this time around was not as clean because you're hitting two people, but that sky twister was insane and perfect. And the only drawback was that the babyfaces lost. Like, that was the choice. Go heels, I guess. But overall, nice showcase for all six ladies, with Sol Ruka definitely being a standout in this match.
Yeah, Sol Ruka is there's Io Sky. Io Sky can absolutely fly, so let me not say that. You got Caden and Katana, and I was about to say Katana. Casey and JoJo, they can move a little bit, but there is not another woman that I can think of on that roster who can do the, I mean, who can just move in the sky like that and just has control like that. You see the slight hesitation in her moves, and that's just because a lot of these things she's doing for the first time on the fly. Like, let's see how it goes. And you've also got to remember that there's people that she's got to trust to catch her, and it's not like these are 15-year vets that are down there catching them. So I think what she is able, she is like a Ricochet-esque wrestler out there, as far as she can pull out a different move every match. There is literally nothing she can't do. She is a walking 2K. And it's fun and it's scary because she's going to do some crazy, like that, the corkscrew moonsault off the top rope to the out to the floor is, we've seen Charlotte do it, but there was a little bit of a grace to it. There was a little extra bit that I thoroughly enjoyed, but Sol Ruka is becoming a highlight reel of NXT.
She really is. And Charlotte Flair does a great twisting moonsault as well, but it was just how Sol did it. Like, there was like an extra pop to the sky twister. Like, holy shit, the speed of it was kind of crazy. And I totally agree. I think there's hesitation in two ways in that, hey, I'm doing it for the first time, and can you go, and are you going to catch me? But also number three, the knee brace, because of the ACL injury last year, there is hesitation during spots at times. I think when that knee brace comes off and she's able to trust herself to just run the ropes and do the moves, when that confidence is out of your, when your confidence is fully on and you're out of your head so much thinking about the spot and thinking about how you're going to do the move, that is when she'll be a complete performer. Cause we got to remember, she was barely on TV a year before the injury happened. So she missed 9 months of reps on television to really further improve her skill set. So I think that now that she's back in the swing of things, if she stays healthy and she remains injury free, that knee brace comes off, the fluidity, what she's able to do is going to even get better, because it's going to be cleaner when that heavy brace is off her knee and she's able to fully go at full speed and just try stuff and know that she can hit it and know that people are going to catch her and know that every time she's going to be out there, she's going to keep adding to her skill set and be a complete worker at the same time. Give her another year and she'll be right there. Trust and believe.
Yeah, she's someone who could absolutely be a face of that entire brand. She could absolutely be a face of that brand.
100%. Good match all the way through, mostly until the end when they lost. But hey, baby faces will have their day sometime soon. And I approve of the Lola Vice face turn. What took them so long? But I digress.
I don't know. People have been dying to cheer for her since she started, you know, shaking her hips every time she hit a move for no reason. She just randomly started moving her hips. People are like, yeah, all right. And you're good too? Sweet.
Like, it took them until like the last show before their last PLE. Like, okay, now let's do it. Like, what took you so long? What took you so long? But I'm glad they figured it out. As we now get to the main event of night one of the Great American Bash, it was Sia Hell versus Roxanne Perez for the NXT Women's Championship. This match was great. Sia Hell, Roxanne Perez, 21 and 22 years old, respectively, going out there like they're two seasoned vets. Roxanne's a vet because she's been in this game for a minute and she's just one of the best in the world at what she does. And Sia Hell has improved dramatically in the last year or so. They went out there and they had a hell of a wrestling match. Loved everything they did. The fans, I have to say, for most of the night were into the show. They were really into this main event. The transitions the counters of them fighting for the crossface of Kimura respectfully was so much fun. The fans were with it. And ultimately, Thea could not tap out Roxanne Perez. And Perez hit the Pop Rocks cleanly to retain her women's championship. But my God, these ladies went out there for a good 15 minutes and they grappled, they wrestled, they fought hard and put on a show. And these ladies would not be out of place whatsoever on the main roster in the next year or so. Roxanne's ready. Thea will be ready soon as well.
I'm not sold on Thea yet as far as her being up there by herself. She is an ensemble. If you bring her up and, you know, with Chase U or as a part of something, you know, maybe bring her up as a new recruit for with Otis and Tozawa or something, like, you could do that. But I don't know about her. Like, Roxanne is a magician, and she works wonders. And it's not a knock on Thea at all, but I want to see what Thea does against, you know, just weekly, whoever's put in front of her. We know what anybody can do when they're put in the ring with Roxanne. Roxanne is the HBK of that entire show. Like, you can put her in the ring with anybody, and she will get a good match out of them. So I'm not quite as sold on Thea, but Roxanne, I think you got it. I mean, obviously we know why they're keeping her there. She's got some money matches on her horizon, and you need somebody built like her when you go to the CW. But Thea, let her stay down there. Let her continue to cook. Let her continue to marinate down there. I think I would leave her down there for at least another year or so.
I agree. I was not disputing that at all. I said she needs more time, at least one more year. And I think that she'll be good to go. Now, will she go by herself? Will you bring Chase U? I say bring Chase U. I think they're an act that can travel on the road and get over as well. You can't have them in the confines of NXT forever. They can't be NXT lifers. I mean, if he chooses to do so, but I think that act deserves to be in front of a larger audience where they can truly connect and get over. And Thea can be a part of that as well. And she's still learning and growing. And I think with more time and experience, she'll be able to fly on her own. But Roxanne, right now, she is the anchor of this NXT women's division. We got Stephanie Vaquer and Julia coming, and we're getting ready for those matches imminently, which is going to be a lot of fun. And after that happens, I definitely foresee Roxanne moving on up to Raw SmackDown, probably by the Royal Rumble in February.
Yeah, and honestly, I would do what they did with Paige with Roxanne. Like, I would have her come in and just run stuff off top. Have her be the young prodigy that nobody can stop. Like, she's somebody that you can really, she's not somebody that you need to be beaten down and having her like work their way to the top. Like, she's somebody you can throw to the wolves right from the get, and she'll be able to show like, I'm just as good as anybody out here. So yeah, I'm excited for what she's got coming, but I'm also excited to see what she's doing in a year from now.
Absolutely. And that tease of her and Charlotte Flair, that was not by accident. When you name drop the queen, that match is definitely happening very soon. And as you said, let's not do the test run of let's put her through things. No, push her off top. Give her the championship. Let her be the anchor of one of these divisions on Raw or SmackDown. Why not? Because if she's a prodigy, why she gotta, you know, climb her way from the bottom, make her way to the top? She's established. You make her a name woman from day one. There should be no struggle bus with her. She should be the one. And the way to do that is her being one of, and to do that is her beating one of the best to ever do it, possibly in Charlotte Flair, if they go in that direction. That name drop, as I said, was not by accident.
Nah, nothing is. HBK always, he always cooking something. Even if he got to change what the dish is, he always cooking something.
Yes, the recipe might change, but hey, that dish still gonna hit one way or another. As we now get to the moment we've been waiting for, which is our SummerSlam preview and predictions, what we think is going to be going down this Saturday at SummerSlam, going down live from Cleveland Brown Stadium in Cleveland, Ohio. We got a snug 7 matches on tap for this PLE going down this Saturday on Peacock. And I do want to run down the card in the order in which I think it's going to start in. And I think we're going to start the night with possibly maybe, Damian Priest versus Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship. Who you got?
You think this is kicking off?
Possibly.
Wow. Okay. Man, I, it's been hard because any other, if it was anybody else besides Gunther, I, you know, the way they've been talking down the Priest and stuff, I would be Priest is going to win this match because this feels like the way they were doing it with Drew. But I just can't imagine Gunther loses this. I know you got Bash coming up soon, but this is, that would be a wild thing to do. I got Gunther winning this match.
You know, see, we did a show last week on the Wrap, okay? And you talked me into the possibility of Damian Priest winning. And you swung me in that direction. And now when the hour arrives for you to be a man of your conviction, a man of your prediction and word, Gunther, like, I can't with you. So instead, I will stand in my truth of which you convinced me of, and I will not pivot. So I'm saying, because of what you said last week, because we have another PLE going down in August called Bash in Berlin. So that'll be the night Gunther most likely gets coronated as champion, because Gunther been talking all that trash about Damian Priest being trash, being from the streets and being poor. I'm saying that Damian Priest, by hook or by crook, by a surprise maybe, he will win, retain the championship, then lose it in Berlin to Gunther.
Yeah, that's cool. You can stand on that hill all you want to. I'm gonna take shelter. I'm gonna go ahead and take shelter because the storm is coming, and his name is Gunther. But yeah, you're right. I switched up on you. I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't feel confident in it. I'm gonna stick with Gunther, but I'll be happy if Priest wins, because that'd be another huge win. Shoot, at that rate, you might as well just let that man run.
Well, at least someone stands on the island with me. Gigi says in our Discord discussion, I know everyone but me wants Gunther to win. So.
Everybody but you and Keela now, Gigi.
Yep, just me and Gigi on the island. Scott was with me. He actually converted me. And then he says, nah. In the last minute, he says, go Gunther. And you know I love me some Gunther. You know this. You know this man has a franchise of Red Lobsters, but I am picking against him for the purposes of Damian Priest needs a high-profile victory upset. And that is how you do it against Gunther. But we shall see. I could be wrong and Scott could be right, but one of us will be bragging by the end of the night.
And you rhyme there too. So that's not a good, that's probably not a good sign.
No, if I'm rhyming and dropping bars, it's not good for you. So we shall see. Next match I think will be on tap will be Logan Paul versus LA Knight for the United States Championship. Who you got?
You got LA Knight, even though, you know, Triple H likes to, if it wouldn't surprise me if he's like, nah, not tonight. You got to, good things come to those who wait, or wait another 6 months, see at WrestleMania night one. I got LA Knight. If they know what's good for him, they'll crown that man.
Yes, finally, for the love of God, crown LA Knight. I need a promo from him on Friday too to really sell me on why he should be the next U.S. champion. Logan Paul is a hometown guy, but he will be booed in the stadium most likely. And I do expect LA Knight to win. I do not want to hear Triple H says telling a story and it has many chapters to it. And this is just chapter 35, an LA Knight story that will end at WrestleMania in Las Vegas. Like, no, it needs to culminate at SummerSlam. He needs to win his first major championship in WWE. Let it be the U.S. championship. Let him feud with Melo and Andrade, and let's be done with this. Okay, please. Thank you very much.
Yeah. You know, him and Melo got beef. Andrade's looking for some beef. And, you know, if he gets the U.S. title, we'll have the burner and turn beef to patties so we can have ourselves a good old cookout.
Yes, exactly. Let's get fire up the grill and let's do this thing. So I got LA Knight winning. Will we be right when the night's over? We shall see. Hopefully Triple H doesn't do that bullshit spin during the press conference as we get to our next match, which is Sami Zayn versus Bron Breakker for the Intercontinental Championship. Who you got?
See, this is what I'm talking about. This is one of the ones where it's like, not tonight, kid. because that's what happened last pay-per-view for Braun. It's got to be tonight. You know, it's got to be tonight. It's got to be the crowning of the new guard. I think we'll have new. We could probably have new champions all across the entire spectrum. So, yeah, I like Braun Breaker.
Yes, this should be coronation SummerSlam for several people. Should be for LA Knight. Definitely should be for Braun Breaker as well. He should and will win this match. They delayed it at Money in the Bank. It was a surprise, but bigger crowd, bigger stage. Let's hope this is the night for him. Him and Sammy had a good match. Could even be better at SummerSlam in Cleveland. It's time. And listen, when you are doing a show in Cleveland and the team has a section known as the Dog Pound, how can you not win?
Yeah, and they're not even going to utilize or talk about that. That's the worst part about it. But they won't. They won't. They won't.
And it's so easy.
Well, let me not say that, because Pat should. Yes. Pat should bring it up. Like he should talk about it. But he's probably not going to be on the show, right?
No. Not well. It is a big three, or big four, I should say. So it could be Corey, Michael, and Pat. It's possible.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. It should be the three of them, right?
Yes.
Like, more than likely, it should be the three of them. So if Pat's there, I think there's a good chance he brings it up at some point. When they start, when they start doing all that, there's a good chance he brings it up. Or at least he should.
Yes, he better. It's so easy. I just thought about it, like, a second ago. Like, yeah, the Dog Pound's in Cleveland. Cleveland Browns, like, they have a fucking dog as a mascot. So he should be the overwhelming favorite. I love Sammy, but it's Braun Breaker's time. The promos are good. He's cool. He's just has it. We've been saying for a very long time, he's got next in WWE. And this is the first step in confirming that by winning the IC title at SummerSlam. There are no excuses as to why this will not happen at SummerSlam. So Paul, do what you got to do and book the finish that makes sense.
Spear 1, 2, 3.
Not that quick. I do want it to be a bit more competitive. let's not do that.
Spear 1, 2, 3. Match, no. Then spear 1, 2, 3.
No. Let's be even more competitive before we do that. But I do have Breaker winning against Sammy on Saturday as we get to our next match, which will probably be Bayley versus Nia Jax for the WWE Women's Championship. And we have Tiffany Stratton, possibly the outlier, cashing in. So I have Bayley retaining the championship.
This is a tough one. Like I mentioned, I think we're getting the changing of the guard. I think Tiffany walks out of SummerSlam with the women's championship. I think Bayley beats Nia, and then Nia destroys Bayley, and then Tiffany comes out and cashes in. I think Tiffany Stratton walks out of SummerSlam as new champion.
The reason I push back on that is because they're going to waste their money on this pink briefcase, and it's only going to be good for one show.
That's all you need it for. That's all you need it for. You're going to have that image of her holding that pink briefcase.
This thing better look cheap on Friday. I know that much. Because if it looks expensive, she got to hold a little while longer than that.
Let me tell you something. Just because they put a few rhinestones on her little pink suitcase, okay, or a briefcase, I mean, just because they put some rhinestones on there, don't let them things fool you. They're going to put some Vaseline and oil them things up real nice to have some glistening.
She can have some Swarovski crystals on there.
You're asking a lot. you asked
it
a lot.
It's possible. It's possible.
Right. When she hits Bayley with it, and all those crystals go flying off of it, and them rhinestones go flying everywhere, we'll be like, "There it is."
Hey, it is. Real crystals, expensive shit. Why not? Hey, better than glitter.
That's
glitter.
True.
A glitter that's bomb true. Hitting Bayley's face would be embarrassing.
A glitter bomb.
Come on.
I would laugh if she like opened up a hand of glitter and blew it in her face. Now that would be funny.
That actually would be funny. God, that reminds me of somebody from way back when in women's wrestling, the OG women's wrestling that did that very thing. So, God, I'm old. Yes. But let's move on before I date myself even further as we get into our next potential matchup, which will probably be Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley in a singles match for the Women's World Championship. I think this will be one of the most heated matches of the night with a shocking finish.
Ah, oh, man. I do think we're still changing of the guard, and Liv Morgan winning this match would continue this changing of the women's guard. I got Liv Morgan winning, I honestly think it's what you called. I think we get that. I think she has a nice makeout session with Finn Balor at the end.
Mm-hmm. I think that's exactly what happens. I'm going to go down the list. So Dominic Mysterio would turn on Rhea in the sense of, I really caught feelings for Liv. I'm oh so sorry. And then Liv stabs Dominic in the back. And then she goes to her real guy, Finn Balor. And they make out on the stage because the fix was always in. We're getting Trish and Christian from WrestleMania 20. That is a playbook Triple H remembers well.
What if it ends up that she's been with JD this whole time?
Man, listen, if she goes a floating head over Finn, I have to question everything about Liv's taste. Like, at least Dom got the stash and the hair. Finn got the abs and the accent. JD has a floating head. If she was in on it with him, cancel the whole storyline immediately.
What if JD's like, man, I hated all these guys from the very beginning. And she walks up to Finn and just walks right by her and just lays one on JD. And he just looks at Finn like, throws his hands up, gives the Jordan shrug.
No, man, I can't. I'll hate it.
Shout out to the floating head. Shout out to JD McFunko.
JD McFunko. The Funko Pop head of it all. But yeah, if that happens, I'm like, we completely lost the plot because that don't make no sense. No. Uh-uh. No, 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 no. Listen, Finn did not grow his 9th ab for this. He did not. So I expect Finn to be the guy and not JD. Please, God, I can't. All right. So our next match will most likely be CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre with special guest referee Seth freaking Rollins, who promises to wear one of the most outlandish referee jerseys and outfits you will ever see in a WWE match.
So the cheeks will be out. That's yes, for sure. cheeks will definitely be out. I think some Shawn Michaels pants. So like the inner thigh will be out. We'll probably get a crotch report. And chest will be out. I think he'll have a little spaghetti strap going on.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of how else we can make this real outlandish. Maybe we'll go with like a see-through sequin type joint with like some black stripes. Glittery though, real glitter. This is where we get the real glittery type stuff going on. You know what I'm talking about? Something like that, but for sure the cheeks and the inner thighs are going to be out, and I think the chest will be out for sure, and definitely there'll be a spaghetti strap somewhere in there.
Yes, and platform boots.
Oh yeah, I'd hate to catch that super kick, but yeah, for sure.
Yes, thigh high platform boots.
God dang,
I'm just saying, like, let's go all the way with this being outlandish.
Didn't Shawn Michaels wrestle in like some booty shorts? I'm not wrestling, but referee in some booty shorts. He did.
I mean, those shorts was tight.
Yeah, that's so maybe the cheeks won't be out, and we'll just get some real underwear.
Yeah, but those cheeks still be out though. Like the cheeks still be out though. Like Seth got a bottom, so the cheeks he does. They'll be out for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Shout out to the Apple Bottom.
Yes. So who do we have winning this match? Sorry. Which is important besides the wardrobe choices of the assed out Seth Rollins.
We out here talking about cheeks and stuff. I got I got Drew McIntyre.
I do too. I have him as well winning this match. It's got to be the first one to draw blood in this feud, in this match. I think it'll be very heated. It'll be very good. CM Punk and Drew McIntyre have done a great job talking up. This rivalry is very personal. Seth will definitely play a role in the finish. Like, if Punk pushes things too far, Drew would take advantage of it, and therefore he'll get the win that way in controversial fashion. And after it's over, I just expect more animosity between these two, which will culminate at Bad Blood, most likely inside Hell in a Cell. But Drew McIntyre gets the first dub in this first official match of this rivalry that has been one of WWE's best this year. And it's going to be a good one. I truly believe that.
Though, you know, CM Punk does need to get that bracelet back. So him getting the win, Drew McIntyre getting screwed again by Seth Rollins, you know, getting screwed with those three, you know, just getting screwed again. Punk getting the win, getting his bracelet back. Drew McIntyre going nuts, just going crazy. You know, Seth Rollins, that sets up Rollins and Drew McIntyre at Bash. There could be something there too, but I'm going to stick with Drew for right now.
All right. And to add on to this theory, we have our guy, Paul Fontaine, checking in from Discord as well, saying the following. Here's the finish of Punk and Drew. Punk is being an asshole to Seth. Seth finally has enough and goes to super kick him, but hits Drew instead and reluctantly has to count the pin. Drew loses it and goes ape shit on Seth after the match, while Punk just grins and walks away instead of saving him. That is possible as well.
That's probably the most real. That's a very realistic. Whoever wins, that's a very good possibility. That's what happens to the loser.
Yes, they're getting jumped. They're getting jumped, and Seth is going to be down probably as well. So, and it'll fuel both feuds because we still got Punk and Seth to look forward to down the road, and Drew and Seth still got beef as well. So it can definitely go in either direction. I'm here for that, but I do have Drew McIntyre winning this match, but Punk will get the bracelet back somehow, some way. I do believe that. And now it is time for our main event. Cody Rhodes versus Solo Sikoa for the Undisputed WWE Championship. There's no need to beat around the bush here. Cody Rhodes will retain. Roman Reigns will come back to a tremendous pop, and he will murk his cousin.
It can be that straightforward. Like, what would be the reason? Solo might win, man.
No,
he might win this match. Mm-hmm. And I say that because Solo gonna lose, be laid out, and then Roman gonna come back and spear him while he gonna kick him while he down. I don't know. Solo being on top of the world, having that crowd be like, oh my God, what just happened? This can't be it. And then Roman come out and be like, thank God you're coming out. It just seems more feasible, man. Or does Roman come out in the middle of the match at the very end or at the end of the match? And I have this bad feeling, man. Very, very, very not good feeling that Solo might become the new champion and Roman returns right after Solo's holding that title high, the same way Roman would hold that title high at the end of SummerSlam and somebody else would make a big return.
Whew. That is a scary possibility. It won't happen for a few reasons. One, they're teasing Randy and Cody for the championship. Number two, who is on the board of directors at TKO, Scott?
Dwayne.
Yes. So do you think Dwayne going to let Solo get the belt before him at WrestleMania? Hell no.
Hey, listen, Roman Reigns said his goal was to elevate everybody in the family. Solo getting a nice short little reign out here to elevate this bloodline for a couple months until they have their Survivor Series thing. I could see it, man. If I'm betting money, I'm betting on Cody.
I'm gonna just go with Solo just to be different.
And that's fine. But a Solo championship run, before we move to USA Network in September, we got to remember that too. You're already on Friday. You're losing probably 500,000 viewers that you had on Fox. I need Cody as champion. I think there's a way to get Roman to come out there and it still hits, because I expect at least 2 or 3 ref bumps. We got to have Kevin come back, Randy come back to make the save. Jimmy's going to come back too, I believe. And then you get Roman at some point. I think Paul will be the guy to bring back Roman. And that's how you set up whatever you're trying to do for a Survivor Series, probably at the new LA spot where the Clippers play. So you got a lot of time to rebuild things and get this together, but you don't have to strap Solo. I don't want to see it. He would be the very definition of a transitional paper champion that has no swag. I hate to say that, but it's true.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with being a transitional champion. With the way he's been closing out and doing a good job of kind of being like, he's been doing just fine as far as closing out SmackDown and stuff. And he, you know, now that we got Jacob Fatu behind him, he does have this loose cannon behind him, and just seeing Fatu kind of eyeing that title that he could be having, there's something there to that story. Cause I think Solo has grown into this role very well. We've talked about it on this show. He's not Roman. I think that's what he's being compared to. But as far as him in and of itself, he's grown into it very well. You're probably right. Like, more than likely, like you laid out, they're moving to a different network. Cody's a draw. You want to go with your top babyface. I just think there is something there with Solo as champion holding that title high. It's just it's so reminiscent, because Roman does that every SummerSlam. He held the title high, and oversized Voldemort showed up, and it was a great reaction. So this year it could be Solo who holds the title high, Roman shows back up. So we'll see what happens. But you're probably right. But I am just going to stick with Solo, just so at least one of us can be right in case the upset happens.
And you want to be right so badly. You want to be right so you can stunt on me live on YouTube on Saturday with this big ass smile on your face and say, I told you so. I told you so. And I hope to God you're wrong, because I don't want to see that. And you talk about people closing. Like, the real closer is Jacob Fatu, because Solo always gets his ass whooped and then Jacob comes in and really closes shit out. So he's a real closer.
Yeah, no doubt. He's the, he's the... the Mariano Rivera, but everybody remembers Derek Jeter hitting a home run. You know what I'm saying? So,
because Derek Jeter is fucking Derek Jeter, and Solo is just
Solo. Derek Jeter.
It's Timu Derek Jeter and Roman Reigns. Or in honor of Paul Fontaine, Dollar Store, Roman Reigns and Derek Jeter.
I'll take Dollar Store Derek Jeter. Somebody called me Dollar Store Derek Jeter, I'd be like, man, give me Dollar Store Derek Jeter money and I'm cool with it.
Give you half his stack and you'll be good.
Half.
A quarter of his stack.
A quarter.
And you'd be set for life.
Yeah.
Shout out to your fellow light-skinned brother.
Which one are you talking about?
Hey, Derek, hello.
Well, I was just making sure, because I know he's Samoan, but he's still light skinned. He's still light skinned.
The less I try to acknowledge Solo, the better for me. So
you can't just not acknowledge him being light skinned.
No, I choose not to acknowledge him at all.
Okay, true.
That's just me.
I thought you were saying, like, I don't want to acknowledge him being light skinned.
No, I don't acknowledge him, period. Like, it ain't got nothing to do with the skin color. I don't acknowledge
him. Hey, he gonna make everybody acknowledge him on Saturday. I can tell you that.
So I'd be one grumpy person on this live stream, like they really did it. Oh, God.
You know what?
And you'd be the only one smiling, like, oh, it's a great day. I was right.
You about to make me start standing for Solo.
Oh, I'm about to start standing for
just to get this double Saturday.
No, man. And I'm about to call Audible and say I'm going to make it on Saturday because
You know what? I'm going to do a solo show.
Yes.
In honor of solo.
Yes.
I'm gonna do a solo show.
Exactly. You could do it by yourself in honor of solo. You guys doing solo things by yourself. I will not be here. In fact, I'll be here, but I just won't be on camera. I'll be on mute the entire time. And you one point. I won't even be on stage.
You could be making little comments with the little bar underneath.
I'll be like the one making comments as you're talking in the banner saying Scott's wrong. Scott's an idiot. This sucks. Solo sucks. Dollar Tree, Roman, their solo right there. Yeah, I'll be a real menace to you. So actually go solo just so I can troll you live on YouTube on Saturday night. Why not?
Listen, if I have to embrace my Jason Derulo and go solo, then I will.
Oh my gosh. And how could we possibly forget that we have a host for SummerSlam? Scott's guy, his idol, his icon. And Paul tried to say that you would not say that Miz is the most handsomest guy ever in WWE. And I said, I'll take that bet because Scott totally would say that Michael Mazan is the handsomest guy ever to walk the hallowed hallways and rings of WWE.
He's earned a Mount Rushmore.
I told Paul this.
He's definitely earned a Mount Rushmore. When you're able to pull a Maurice,
yes,
you got something working for you. Okay, you're not just an average looking guy. I'm sorry, but there is we do still have, like we mentioned there, we do still have a Finn Balor here. That's a, you know, top of the line guy right there. Makes him a guy like me jealous. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if he's the best looking, but he's definitely on the Mount Rushmore.
I knew it. I knew you couldn't outright say he wasn't the most handsomest. But
no, I won't say that because he's absolutely in the running. Won't say that.
But I knew he was in the running. I knew it.
Yeah, I could definitely put him on the Mount Rushmore. He's that guy. Roman's up there, you know. Fourth guy to talk about, but those three are probably, you know, those three are solid three to start with.
Okay. That's a solid lineup, I must say.
See what I'm saying? It's a solid lineup.
Outside of the Miz, solid lineup. Miz is not on that list, but solid lineup. I'm not going that far with Miz. I'm not.
Shout out to this man. This dude said, listen, y'all don't want to see me wrestle. That's cool. I won't wrestle. I'm going to get paid just as much as everybody else, and I'm going to just come out here and talk.
Exactly. I would take that gig 100%. Like, your job is to talk. Cool. I can do that. Come out for multiple segments and host. Why not? He did it a couple of years ago with Snoop at WrestleMania, so he can do it again here. Why not?
Yeah, and you know, the latest AEW talent, that's where last time we saw him was trying to do a leapfrog over the Miz in that same same show. What do you know?
Oh, the coincidence of it all, I tell you. Last scene, holding his knee was Shane McMahon at WrestleMania.
Thank God for Snoop Dogg.
Let me tell you something. Snoop, the way he was able to react on the fly and save that segment is incredible. Like, he deserved a bonus for that. So go Snoop. And Shane now owns AEW Collision. How about that?
Shout out to Shane Khan. Looking forward to him going live on a Collision, telling everyone that he just bought AEW.
Oh, what a world we live in. What a time to be alive. If that happens with Shane McMahon possibly crossing over to AEW. And for those that think that's not going to happen, oh, I have a surprise for you. Because Shane has deep-rooted animosity towards someone that basically took his birthright away from him. So, of course, he would.
First of all, Shane's not very good at that job, so it wasn't...
Well, you know, I mean, where is the lie? But in his mind, he thought he was the title to it, so...
Shane gonna cut a promo and be like, listen, the other show's got a con, and they got somebody who's only a McMahon because he got married into the family. This show's got a con and a real McMahon. We're the real wrestling show.
we're getting rid of the six man championships and all that because it didn't work for you before. I'm here now. Okay. So what we're going to do is me and Darby Allin, we're going to have a scaffold match.
What? Okay? Oh my God.
from the roof of the building.
Oh, God.
Listen, he was crowned the best wrestler in the world. Okay. and AEW is where the best wrestle. What better combination?
The troll job of a century could be upon us. Kind of here for it. And if Shane remembers his lines, because we know that can be a struggle at times. So
he'll be gassed before he gets to the ring. Because you know he's got to do a shuffle. He's got to do a shuffle.
Hey, he'll be gassed before air by the time he gets in the ring. So prayers up. And I used to love me some Shane, but child, you can stay away now. Stay where you at.
After that Rumble appearance, I think that was my...
I was done. That was it for, yeah, I, you that know was what? I was done. You know, I got what I wanted back in 2016. I got my return. He was looking good. Body was right. He had some good matches. And then he fell off. And I don't need to see him anymore. So, the Royal Rumble did it for me, truly. Like, child, the hell. But hey, we move, nonetheless. And that was an interesting sidebar as we now wrap up the SummerSlam predictions. Who is right? Who is wrong? Who's in the middle? We'll talk about it live on YouTube, hopefully on late Saturday night after the show is over, to see if Scott will be happy and will I be miserable by not attending the live stream. We shall see about that. But now it's time to put a wrap on this episode of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. As always, Scott, before we go, the best match you saw in WWE this week, because I know, I always know now that you have an answer that can be very outlandish in the reserves.
Well, you know, for me right now, it's going to be, it's not a match that's happened yet. It's going to be one that's going to come. It's going to be Shane McMahon versus his knee. Just to see, you know, if he's able to hit the shuffle and, you know, we'll see what else comes after that. But Shane McMahon versus his knee is the match I'm looking forward to. Last week, the match of the week, I guess I'll go with, really enjoyed Finn versus Gunther. A lot of people were disappointed with the sleeper as the finisher, but I thought the match was pretty good.
Match was pretty good as well. I'm trying to think about what happened last week in WWE that was of note. I will say best match I saw was probably the Gauntlet on SmackDown with the Street Profits against all the tag teams. That was pretty good to remind everybody how great the Street Profits are. Please push them, especially Montez Ford. But I digress on that as we now put a bow on this week's wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. I want to thank my co-captain, Salty Scott Young, for joining me today. And just dropping some nuggets of wisdom, mostly.
Thank you for having me, Keila. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I look forward to trying again next week to possibly go live after Great American Bash. We'll see if the weather, and this is why I don't be playing with the big man. You see what I'm saying? He was like, nah, you ain't doing that tonight, son. So yeah, hopefully next week will be better. We're going live this week after SummerSlam. Won't be watching any of the pre-show, so don't ask me anything about what happened there. And there won't be any type of collisions for me.
Very funny, indeed. So no pre-show recap, skipping that stuff. But we will tentatively be back live on YouTube after SummerSlam Saturday night, possibly early Sunday morning. Depends what time the show ends on the East Coast. Seven matches starts at 7 o'clock. It could be over by 11, hopefully. And of course, we'll kind of look at the press conference sporadically as well to let you know what's going on with that as well. And then we'll be back next week as well. We're going to try to do another stream, possibly after Monday Night Raw or after night two of the Great American Bash. We'll play it by ear and make that decision. Then circle back and talk about everything that happened after Raw and NXT as we get ready for a bash in Berlin later in August. But until then, enjoy SummerSlam weekend. If you're traveling to Cleveland, safe travels to you all. A lot of stuff to take part in this weekend. If you're going to SummerSlam, all the live events for Damian Priest, Sami Zayn, The Undertaker, a lot of stuff going on in the Cleveland area. Have fun. Be safe out there. If you're watching from home, enjoy yourselves. We'll recap it for your viewing pleasure and listening pleasure
Sunday morning right here on the Fight Game Media Network and on YouTube. So for myself and Salty Scott Young, that is a wrap for all things WWE so far this week. Take care. Bye-bye. And see you hopefully late Saturday night on YouTube recapping SummerSlam going down live in Cleveland, Ohio.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.